This is the MFG Cast. Hey everybody, welcome to another board game edition of the MFG Cast. I'm Kurt, here by myself, coming to talk to you about a little game called World Wonders. This is a game that I was able to play for the first time the other day. Even though I got to play it once, it was something that I really want to talk to you guys about because I thought that it was just such a solid game that it would be fun to talk about. This is also a game I'd never even heard of. It's a game that old podcast partner Mike ended up getting. I don't remember if he ended up getting for his birthday or for Christmas. Mike is really good about just kind of finding a game that kind of speaks to him. And most of the time when he does that, it's pretty much a gem to me. I feel like I haven't felt like there are games that he's just kind of come by perchance or whatever, and I haven't liked. So it was kind of fun to see how this game played and just how everything kind of went. So this game is published by Arcane Wonders, which is kind of funny that's called World Wonders, and it's published by Arcane Wonders. The designer is Zay Mendes, or Mendes, and the artist is Odysseus Stamoglau and Tom Ventre, or Venter. Sorry if I butchered any of those names. I seem to do that from time to time anyway, so I'm not surprised. In this game, you are spending gold to make the most glorious city you could ever build. One thing I noticed when we first started playing this game is the components. The components are really fun. So you get everyone kind of gets a shared or gets a game board. It's double-sided. You can pick one that has kind of almost like a lake or river that goes across it, or there's one that has on the other side. It has kind of like a big chunk of like a lake or river right in the center of the board. But everybody's board is different in certain ways. Also on the board themselves, there's also these things called, I can't remember what they're called. They're like natural resources, I think is what they're called. They're basically a square on the board, and those will help you score points towards the end of the game. If you connect your buildings or roads or whatever you place on your board, a monument, next to those resources. So what you're going to be doing for setup is you're going to be taking one of those game boards. You're going to be getting what is called a long road. This is a polyomino game where you're placing certain things, like I said before, you're placing roads, you're placing buildings, you're placing monuments of different sizes on your board. And so when you're doing polyomino, it's usually a certain piece, and you're putting them on squares on your board. Well, the starting space that you come, or the starting piece that you come out with, is this 1x4 road, long road, and you're gonna put that anywhere on your board that starts on the bottom, and the bottom is gonna be placed on the sidewalk, which is considered the bottom of the board. Okay, and then what you're gonna do after that, depending upon player counts, if you're playing four players, you're going to be adding a fourth player expansion board and building tiles. If you're doing five players, you're going to be doing the fourth and fifth expansion player expansion boards and their building tiles. And then what you're going to do is you're going to shuffle the building tiles by shape and then place them in stacks. And I think there's like, I want to say there are six types of buildings if you're playing for 2 to 3 players, and then there are 7 for 4 players, and then 8 buildings for 5 players. Each of those are going to have a cost. I'm just going to stick with the 2 to 3 player rules, just because that's what we play as 3 players. So there's going to be a 2-cost building. There's going to be 2 3-cost buildings. There's going to be 2 4-cost buildings and 1 5-cost building. Also, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be placing first and second player markers on that little board where you place the buildings. You're also going to put out little player markers depending upon which player board you take and what color you pick. And you're going to put those in player order from first all the way to fifth player. you choose them randomly, but during the game, you'll be able to switch the role of which players are going to be in which player order during the game. And I'll kind of talk about that as it goes along. Like I said, you're going to be placing those buildings on that little shared board with all the buildings, the 2 cost through 5 cost. You're going to be flipping one of each over so you can have your options to buy the certain buildings there. You're also going to be putting out some roads as well, depending upon player count. For 2 to 3, it was 2 long roads, and then there also was one set of another road, which was, it's like a 1x2. There's 2 of those roads, and then there's a 1x1 road, and those are all together. So you get the 2 1x2s and the 1x1 if you decide to pick that type of road. You're also putting a tower by those buildings and roads too. We'll kind of talk about what that does. You're also shuffling monument cards, and then you're going to be setting out 3 there, and then you're going to be putting the perspective monument pieces on those cards. The monument pieces are gorgeous. That's one of the things that really kind of caught my eye. You're also going to be doing lone tiles. Lone tiles will help you get 2 gold during a round, but also will count as 2 minus victory points, which we'll kind of get into that if you decide to get those. But those will be put next to the main board. And then for the players themselves, you're going to be putting that map board in front of you. You're going to have that 1 long road tile, which I told about, and you're going to be putting that on your board anywhere on the sidewalk or adjacent to the sidewalk. You're also going to be giving somebody a resource board, which we'll talk about that in a little bit. And then you're also going to get, every player is going to be getting 1 gold, 1 population, and 3 resource markets that go on that resource board that you get playing the game. So let's talk about your resource board. So your resource board comes with certain sections. You've got your gold area. Anytime during the game, you're going to be spending up to 7 gold. Unless you take one of those loan tiles, which will give you an extra 2 gold per round. So you'd be able to spend up to 9 gold per round. There's also a track for population. It's a little like Lady's Head. And as you move up on that population board, if you get furthest to the right, you can get up to, well, if you get to furthest to the right, you can get up to 3 rings, which rings are victory points during the game. So you want to try to possibly move that population marker up more to be able to get more population for more rings for the end of the game, which is actually pretty, I think that's a pretty good strategy. But again, there's lots of different strategies. There's also another track for food, ceramics, and gears. You'll be able to get those during the game as you get the buildings, because the buildings have certain resources on them that will be able to move those food, ceramics, and gears. And then also, if you get further on the track as well, it actually moves up your population, which will help you get those more victory points at the end of the game. So let's as we're kind of rolling into that board that I told you with moving everything, let's go into the actions of the game that helps you move that board. So during the game, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be spending that gold. So like I said, you can do up to 7, but you can do more with those loans. And what you're going to be doing is you're going to be purchasing things. So during your during the game, you can take the actions. You can take these actions. So you can either buy yourself one of the roads, which, what, like I said, is that 1x4 long road, or you can do that group of the 2 1x2 roads and the 1x1 road. Those all you have to do is spend 1 gold for each of those. So you either do 1 for the long road or 1 for that group of the 3 roads there. Okay, so with the roads, what you're going to be doing is when you're putting roads on your city board, a road tile must be adjacent to another road tile, the sidewalk, which is the bottom of the board, or a tower. Okay, so that's the only times you can ever have a road on your board. It has to be adjacent to those 3 things. And then you pay, like I said, you pay that 1 gold to place those roads on your board. Okay. Another thing you can do is you can buy a tower. You can pay 2 gold for a tower. And a tower has to be adjacent to something you've already placed on your board, whether it be a building, a monument, a road. What a tower does, what that means is you can actually place a road attached to that tower. So it kind of helps, like, trying, because sometimes when you're trying to put your roads around, it's kind of hard to get your roads going. So if you are able to put that tower somewhere in a different spot, then you can attach roads to that and kind of help build your city a little bit more. A building tile must be always adjacent to a road tile or a building tile of that same type. Okay. So if you have, for instance, a blue building, you can attach another blue building to that, or it has to be attached to a road tile. And those cost whatever the number is on the actual building themselves. And then when you buy those buildings, what I was talking about with the resources on your board, those will give you resources to move up on your board a little bit more. So say I buy a 4-cost building, and it kind of looks like almost like a 3x3 square with the top top 1x1 square missing on the top left. So what I would do is I would place that on my board per the building rules, and then it would give me something. So like four food. I would move that track the 4 times. If I get to the point where I'm able to add one more population, I would do so during that turn, and then I would move on. Another thing that you can do during the game is you can buy a monument. So these monuments are these just plethora of different things. So it could be like the Colosseum. It could be, I'm blanking on some of the names of some of these. It could be like the Petra or the Port of Carthage or a Roman bridge. And these monuments have a certain, I'm trying to think of the word. It has a certain requirement that you have to have that then you can put that on your board. So it, most of the time it'll be like, okay, it has to be next to water, but it also has to be next to one of those natural resources, and it has to be in a 3x3 grid. So you have to look at what it says for the requirements of that monument before you can put it on your board. But also one of the caveats of the game is that you can spend gold to put that out, but it has to be the rest of your gold that you have. So say you are playing the game and you want to get this monument and you have 5 gold, you have to spend the rest of that gold. So that's 5 gold. That's a lot of gold to spend. One of the strategies I always think is kind of a good thing is to wait until you're getting into those lower parts, but you have to also be careful because you're giving other players a chance to take that monument as well if they have those requirements. So you have to kind of be careful. You can always kind of take a chance and, be like, okay, well, I'm going to wait until I have 2 gold because then I'm only spending 2 gold on this monument. But you have to make sure that no one else will be able to take that from you because otherwise you'll be kind of screwed there. So you have to be careful there. So those are the types of things that you can put on your board per the requirements on those monuments. So with the monuments, you also on the cards for the monuments that you take with them as you put your monuments on your board, you're actually going to be getting points as well, which are in the form of ranks. So I think from what I've seen on the cards, I think you can get from one ring up to three rings, for points there. So that's how you're putting monuments on the board. Another thing you can do as well is you can purchase first and second player turn orders by paying a gold each for those. So you're going to be continuing in turn order, purchasing those roads, those buildings, those a tower or monuments until everyone runs out of gold. Oh, another thing I forgot as well. If you want to, and I kind of alluded to this already, but I'm just going to include it. If you want to take one loan out during a turn or during a round, you can do so. So it'll give you 2 more coins to use during the round, but it also counts as -2 rings, which is -2 points, and every point is precious, so you have to kind of be careful there. A way to get rid of that loan is later on during the game, you have to pay 3 gold. So if you're taking the loan out for 2, you have to pay 3 to pay off that loan, and you'll be able to get rid of that, and you will get those negative points during the game. So just kind of keep that in mind. Once everybody has once a player has used their gold, they're out for the rest of the round. Other players will continue to play until they get out of their gold, and then the round is going to reset. So during reset, what you're going to be doing to play the next round is you're going to be replacing the roads that weren't purchased. You're going to be getting rid of all the buildings that hadn't been purchased during the round and flip over new buildings. The amount of buildings should be able to play for 10 rounds, but there's also a way that the game has ended, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. You're going to be refilling that tower. You're going to be replacing the tower if it's already been purchased. You're going to be replacing... One thing I didn't talk about is during the round two, if you also purchase a monument, you're going to replace it right away. So you will always have three monuments out there to be played. For turn order, you're going to be figuring out this way. So first, you're going to see if anybody's purchased the first or second player turn orders. You're going to put those in order by that. And then you're going to be determining the other player orders depending upon this. Whoever has the least amount of population, whoever has the least amount of monuments from least to most, and then if you're still tied in those certain ways, then it just depends upon how player order was established in the last round. Those will stay in those order. So that's how you determine turn order for that next round. And like I said, you're going to be playing possibly up to 10 rounds because that's how many buildings come out each, or that's how many sets of buildings comes out each round, 10 times. Or what can happen is you can also end the game early if someone moves their marker on the population track all the way to the right. So they would get those three rings for the three victory points, and then that would also end the game. Everybody gets a turn to an equal amount of turns to finish out the round, and then you go to end game scoring. So end game scoring is like this. You get one victory point for each ring that your marker is passed on that population track. So like I said, you can get from 1 to 3. You also can get victory points depending upon your least produced resource. So like I said, with those resources, the food, ceramics, and gears, if you continue to move those along that track, you can also get victory points that way, because whatever the least amount of... Whatever resource you got the least amount of, you can get more victory points that way. You get one victory point for each ring on your monument card. You also get a victory point for each visible natural resource, so it kind of looks like rocks and a grouping of rocks and trees on the board, and they're randomly placed depending upon whatever board you have. You get one victory point for each one that's visible and adjacent to at least one of the pieces that you put down. And then you also get a victory point for each building tile that's been surrounded on all sides. So that one's a little bit harder at times, but it's definitely doable with the roads and the monuments and stuff like that if you're careful. It's also surrounded, too, by the edges of the board and the water itself. And then also at the end of the game, you're going to be losing 2 victory points for each loan you did not pay out. So you make sure that you always pay those out before the end of the game, if you can. So that's pretty much World Wonders in a nutshell. If you like polyomino games, this is just a game that it's so streamlined. I mean, really, it plays so easily. Even if you listen to this kind of review outlook on it or whatever, like it would seem like it's one of those that might be hard to kind of maneuver around, but like this game is so easily streamlined. Like it's really easy to just, you know, buy the buildings, try to get them on the board. I think one of the things that is probably the hardest thing is to just remember every little rule about it. You know, so it's like roads can only be, you know, attached to, you know, other roads or the bottom of the board. You know, buildings can only be, you know, attached to the certain color themselves or a road. You know, it's just trying to remember those rules And also, I think another thing that's a little hard to kind of maneuver around too is like, and again, this is, I've only played this once, but I feel like, you know, just playing it the one time, I have a good outlook on it. Like, just trying to like remember that, try to stretch out your board as much as you can, because I think what happened with some of us is we play this three players, and like we're like, okay, I'm gonna put these roads here, and it's like, ah, crap, if I put these roads here, then I'm blocking off parts for some monuments or some buildings. And then it's like certain monuments come up and you're like, crap, that thing is huge. Like, do I want to put that on the board and get those points? Or do I want to wait for some monuments later that have more rings that get more victory points and to be able to, you know, make, you know, score a little bit more there. And it's not just like, even though you get rings on monuments, you don't necessarily have to look at, you know, doing all the monuments. Like, I did only a decent amount of monuments, and I got my population all the way at the end of the board, which got me those three rings. And also, I was able to get those resources moved farther than some of the other players, so I actually won that game. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways to win the game, and there's a lot of different aspects of it. I feel like the randomness of when the monuments come out kind of play almost a spoiler to some of the things that you may want to do and how you strategize on how you want to play it. But like I said, this game is so streamlined that it's really hard to really get confused. I think, like I said, I think it's just getting those, just remembering the placement rules, I think is just kind of like a big thing. So just kind of remember that and strategize on that. But otherwise, like I said, with the components, like the art is good. The chunky wood components for the monuments are great. Like, I think that's a big draw. The box itself, when you look at the box itself, it doesn't look like it's that exciting. But then if you look at the back and you look what's in it, you're like, wow, that's kind of fun and interesting. And Mike kind of, you know, was able to find this, and I had never heard anything about it. So I was like, oh, it'd be kind of fun to play this. And then when we played it, I was like, kudos to Arcane Wonders and the designer for really making this very easy to play. Like, I feel like now that we have the hang of it after even playing one game, like, I'm like, okay, now I know I could probably, you know, get this, you know, I could pop out this game pretty quickly, because I think it's, let me look at the, yeah, it says it plays 50 to 70 minutes, but like, I feel like if you really are on your game, you really know what you're doing, I feel like you could pop it out in the lesser amount of time, like the 50 minutes, and really get a good strategy of it. It took us all night to play. Well, not all night. It took us 2 hours to play our first game. But that's our first game. You're learning the game. You're trying to kind of figure out how to kind of get going and stuff like that. But I feel like with my other players, we kind of talked about it after the game. Felt like when we got about halfway through the game, we were like, okay, now we know exactly kind of how we're going to play it, so we're going to keep going. We made some mistakes probably in the beginning, but, you know, we were able to really kind of figure out how to, you know, kind of place things. So I feel like it's an easy-to-teach game, easy-to-play game. I feel like it's something that, I think this says it plays 12 and up. I feel like, you know, it would be, you know, decently easy for kids to play. You just have to kind of remind them of the placement rules and stuff like that. But I really dig it. I really think it's one of those that once we were done playing, I was like, I really want to play this again. I think it would be fun to play this quite a few times, because it's just, one, I love polyomino games. Number two, this is probably, I feel like, one of the better ones that I've played. And again, it doesn't mean I won't play the other polyomino games I have. I always think it's funny when people are like, oh, this is a good polyomino game, this is the one you should have. And it's like, no, you could play all kinds of polyomino games, and you get different feels from each one. Yeah, go check it out. Let us know what you think. We're on Instagram, and we are on Blue Sky. And until next time, I'm Kurt, and this was the MFG Cast. Thanks for listening.